The Gadget Detective is here, and Fevzi is back. Good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Mark.
Lovely to speak to you. We've got to start with that Nokia story that's in the news today. I mean, everybody's talking about it, and
leave it alone.
No, we were just talking about in the last hour that actually the Nokia 3310 is making a comeback. And I've had a fair few people now either calling or emailing me telling me they're still using their original Nokia 3310.
Yeah, and you can still find them on well-known auction sites still working away. Yeah, no, one of the reasons, so just for those that don't know, and there must be maybe one or two people, the Nokia 3310 was first launched in the year 2000. It was made for 5 years, and in that period, it sold about, I think, about 126 million. So that's more than the first four generations of iPhone put together. Wow. In terms of total sales. So it was extremely popular. It was the first mass market phone, and therefore the first mobile phone that a lot of people owned, and therefore they'll be a bit nostalgic about it. There are still some benefits to this phone. So they've remade it. The company called HMD Global, which is not Nokia, but actually has a lot of senior ex-Nokia people in it and now have the right to the Nokia name. So they've decided to revamp it. It's not exactly the same as the original. It's actually better. So now it's got a colour screen. Mm-hmm. It's about half the thickness and the battery life. And that is one of the reasons why you may still consider this. The battery life is a week on standby and 22 hours talk time.
That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, I was saying earlier that a couple of things that I noticed as somebody who now uses a smartphone all the time, having converted from one of those old Nokia, the basic Nokia phones. I mean, the smartphones are brilliant in so many ways, and I love this smartphone, and I'm slightly lost without it in a very tragic way. However, two things that it's not so good at: battery life,
yeah.
And oddly, and I don't know whether there's any proof in this.
No, you're right.
Less opportunity to make calls in certain areas as well. The signal seems to be stronger.
Poor signal, yeah, and that's true. If you think back to the very early days of mobile phones, obviously, Mark, you're not old enough to remember this.
Obviously,
your
clearly.
Father and mother may have had the opportunity to explain it to you. The original mobile phones had aerial sticking out of them that looked a bit like a finger, you know, just sticking up out of it. And that was great. Then people say, oh, no, we want it to be chic. So then they took a more or less the same size aerial and built it into the mobile phone. And that's the sort of thing that we had with the 3310. Unfortunately, the smartphone is a jack of all trades. It has so much in it. You know, big screen, big battery, camera, all the rest of it. There's no room for a decent antenna on a mobile modern smartphone anymore, which is why, for the most part, the antenna is a foil strip that runs along the outside. And you may remember when the iPhone 4 launched, and people were saying, hold on, when I hold the phone, it's dropping signal, it's dropping calls and all the rest. And Steve Jobs famously said, you're holding it wrong. So, bless him. It's no surprise that actually a phone that's designed to do one thing and do it well tends to do it better than something that's designed to do lots of things all at once. So I would certainly, the old 3310 had a strong reception. I would expect the new one will have as well, because there'd be plenty of space in it, even though they've halved the thickness of the phone. So you've got great battery life. We expect there to be good reception if it's anything like, you know, its forebearer.
Yep.
And there are some other benefits as well. I mean, the original 3310 was an extremely tough phone. And the standing joke used to be, if you drop a smartphone on the floor, you break the screen. If you drop a 3310 on the floor, you break the floor. And that's, yeah, maybe a slight exaggeration, but it was a very tough phone. And they're saying that the new one is similarly tough. And it makes a good second phone. So if you, for example, you know, need a backup phone, you put it in your glove box and you only need to charge it once a week. Maybe you're traveling into the USA, you don't want them looking through all your details. Maybe you want it for a festival or a holiday or on the beach or something where you might not want to risk your treasured smartphone. I think that, you know, or you just want to make calls and be heard.
Well, I think actually make a really good point, because whenever we go down to the West Country, I always say to people before I'm going, look, if you want to get hold of me, you'll have to send a carrier pigeon, because where we stay, there is literally no service on either my smartphone or my wife's smartphone either. But actually, I wouldn't mind betting if I took one of those old fashioned phones down there, I'd probably have a vague chance of making a call on it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to get involved in the show this afternoon, we would love to hear from you.
Call now, 03459 57 0057.
We're taking your calls. Of course, your technical questions. If you've got a technical question for Fevzi this afternoon, he's here, but he's only here until 2:30 today. So get in nice and quickly. You can text as well on 81333, starting your message with the word radio. Fevzi, while we got you, let's have a word with Shirley in Farnborough. Hi, Shirley.
Hello.
Hello. Lovely to speak to you this afternoon. You're a fan of the old style 3310. Indeed, you've had three of them, haven't you?
Yes, and they've done perfectly well until my son said, oh, no, you've got to update yourself, Mother. I've updated myself three times, but they're nothing like the Nokia.
And what have you got now? Do you know what sort of phone it is you've got now?
I've got, where is it? Hang on a minute, love. I've lost it.
That's all right. You carry on.
Oh, I've got it on my hand.
Oh, hang on a minute. You're actually phoning from it.
I'm 82 and your mind goes sometimes.
Don't worry. It happens to all of us.
Just a Nokia, a Samsung.
Oh, it's a Samsung. Okay.
It's very good, but all the gadgets you've got on them at 82, you don't want it. You know, you just want a nice plain one. If Nokia's going to do it.
Fevzi, what would you say to someone like Shirley? I mean, she makes a valid point that some people, dare we say it, just want a phone for the sake of a phone.
Yeah, some people want phone, maybe a bit of texting and not much more than that. They don't need all the bells and whistles. And bear in mind that something like this will cost you about, you know, probably a bit less than £50 as opposed to possibly 10 times that much for us.
Oh, yes, because I do a yearly thing. So.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty good, these. I mean, the only thing I would like on a Nokia is a photograph for my grandchildren. Well, they won't do that, will they?
Funnily enough, the new 3310, one of the things they changed about it, as well as making the screen colour and bigger, is they put a camera on the back. So you can take pictures with it. You know, there is another phone, and I'm not saying this is specifically something that you'll need, Shirley, but sometimes older users of phones have trouble with all the features on them, and there's a company that specialises in phones for older users or people who just want ones that are very simple to use. It's a company called Doro, D-O-R-O.
D-O-R-O.
So they'll do smartphones, but smartphones that sort of talk to you in English and explain each step for you, or they do what are called feature phones, which are the more basic non-smartphones.
Yeah.
There are other companies that do good phones, but this particular company is the only one I know that actually specialises in that market.
I've never heard of them.
Well, you find them online, unfortunately. I don't think you maybe find some in the high street, but most best places. Oh, I know. Well-known department stores. One of them that's never knowingly undersold sells them.
You can say John Lewis, that's fine.
It wasn't them I was thinking of. No, really it was.
I see.
Yeah, so John Lewis do them, but a lot of the sort of bigger department stores will do them. But if you want to see the full range, if you're able to go online or if you need help, get someone to help you go online and have a look at it.
Yeah, my family can do that for
me. Because they really specialise in that. And they're the only ones that I've seen that are actually really easy to use smartphones, as well as sometimes they have special features as well. For example, there's one. It's got a built-in fall detector in it. So if you have the phone on you and, God forbid, a person falls over, it will detect that they've fallen over without that person having to push a distress button.
That's marvellous, that is.
And then give your location. And it will it'll text and call your loved ones without you. So, God forbid, if a person, you know,
I have had some falls, but I've got a machine in here that I can just ring up a number and they get the ambulance to me or anything,
That's good.
That's very good, though, if this other firm's doing it.
It is good because a lot of phones have got buttons, SOS buttons that you can press, but as have the Doros. But the thing about that is if a person's had a seizure or hit their head and passed out, they might not be in a position to press the button or may not have the presence of mind to do it. So actually these are quite good for people who might have, for example, dementia and so forth and don't have the wherewithal to press the button.
Well, there's food for thought there, isn't there, Shirley?
It definitely is. Yeah, I try and find that number for them, those people.
Yeah, D-O-R-O.
My son will do it on the internet for me.
Yeah, he'll find it in 2 minutes.
Can you remember the, I was going to ask that other young man, it's a Motorola, and there's a very first one, and it's just a big phone with a side, like a chimney top on it. Can you remember them on the motorways?
I can't quite picture it, to be honest.
Well, just like kind of the old-fashioned bricks that people used to carry around. Well, is that what you're talking about, Shirley?
My son bought me about 40 years ago. And I still got it, but I don't use it now. It's old fashioned.
Probably
but,
worth some money, you know.
You know, there is a company called Binatone that do a phone called The Brick, and it's a fully functional mobile phone. It's about 10 inches tall. It's got a big finger-type aerial sticking out of it, a big, big buttons. I mean, it's huge, and it's got...
Oh, this is big.
Well, I reckon, Shirley, you might be able to sell that, and you might have your fortune coming your way.
Oh, that, my love.
I tell you what, we do the antiques next week.
All I want is a phone that I can ring out the ambulance. Well, I've got an alarm on here. That doesn't matter. But just to ring my children, you know, because I'm always on the phone to them.
OK, well, Shirley, look, good luck with that, because Doro sounds like it might be the answer for you. Or, as I say, there are options out there, I think. And
there are options. That's the only one that I know that specialises, but there may well be others, I think.
All right, Shirley and Farnborough, thank you for your call this afternoon. Nice to hear from you. 03459 570057. Questions of a technical nature to Fevzi. I tell you what, sometimes Fevzi phones are slightly too clever. So I had, and I've talked about this, I won't bore you too much on this, but I was driving home from work the weekend before last, and some taxi driver, I'm putting it politely, decided to try and do a U-turn in front of me without actually looking, went into my car, there the airbag comes up. So obviously you got the shock, unfortunately I was okay and he was okay, but you got the shock of being in the middle of the road with the airbag up and the car all dented and you couldn't move the car. Mm. About a minute into this procedure, of a couple of guys very kindly came over and said, are you all right? Can we help move the car back, which they did. And then suddenly I could hear this voice. And I realised it was my phone, and the car had automatically called Sussex Police for me. So it was connected through the car radio. I don't know how it works, but somehow it dials automatically. Presumably the airbag comes up, the car says, hang on a minute, something's not right here, and it automatically rings the police for you, which is very clever, isn't it?
That's pretty good. I mean, cars... You know, I heard a claim the other day that said that a child born today will actually never have to have a driving licence, because by the time that child's of driving age, all the cars, or many of the cars, will be self-driving.
Wow.
And certainly those sorts of cars will have that sort of technology, not only to detect accidents, but to prevent them by seeing what's happening ahead of you. So let's say you're on a motorway, it's foggy, you can't see in any event a mile ahead of you, but it will know that there's a group of cars in ahead of you that have all suddenly applied their brakes.
Wow.
And it can bring you to a gentle stop well before, you know, the motorists with the most acute vision would have seen what was happening ahead.
Yeah, you're heading towards it almost doing the driving for you in some respects.
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. It's cars that will do the driving for you. Wow. The interesting thing is, one of the major problems with that now is from an insurance point of view, they're trying to work out who'll be liable when a self-driving car has an accident. So it's difficult to work out that, and also the morals.
Yes.
Of how a car should drive safely and what decisions are the moral ones to make.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take another call. This is from Bob in Alfriston. Hi there, Bob.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hi, you're through to Fevzi. How can we help?
Hi. Well, we were rung by BT. They were selling a scheme for mobile phones. Mm-hmm. We live in a dip in Alfriston. I don't know if you know the village, but there's hardly any reception.
So right,
I said, well, there's not much point us buying this because... it's not going to work. So he said, oh, hang on a minute. And he went away and he came back. Oh, you've got a good signal there.
Yeah.
How do they work this out? Because we've got no signal.
Yeah. There is truth and there is fiction. I'm not talking about any company in particular, but I can tell you I got a contract with a particular company, a mobile phone company, and as you can imagine, I checked their database. I put in my postcode. It told me I could expect 4 to 5 bars of signal for calls and for internet.
Yeah.
I then checked on the Ofcom website, which has another database, and again, it told me I'd have extremely strong signal. Got the SIM, plugged it into a variety of phones. As you can imagine, I had a choice of phones to try it with.
Yeah.
And I got 0 to 1 bar of signal. I had to cancel the contract. So those maps and information that they give you beforehand are at best indicative.
Right.
And in fact, Ofcom has realised this and has produced an app that it's asking people to load on their phone so they can build a better map of this problem. So, first of all, it's indicative, so you might need to try another SIM. And one of the good ways of doing that, rather than taking out contracts and cancelling them, is to get a sort of pay-as-you-go SIM from each one and try it out. Or if your friend's got a phone of a particular network, ask them if you can, borrow it at your location and maybe even pop it into a handset if you've got your own.
Right.
The other thing that you can do is there some mobile phone companies have got a technology that can help householders with poor signal, where it uses the internet to supplement the mobile phone signal. So do you have internet at home?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, and you've got Wi-Fi?
Yes.
So there are other companies that do this, but I'll give you an example. O2 has got an app called the Two app, T-U, I think it's called T-U Go. Mm-hmm. And what that does is, if let's say you're at home and you've got poor signal at home, but you've got your Wi-Fi on, you make sure the app is running in the background. Then, if there's an incoming call that would normally just get routed straight to voicemail because you haven't got sufficient signal, it will get picked up and transferred to your phone via your Wi-Fi, and your phone will operate in the normal way. You won't really be able to tell the difference. And this is where it gets clever. Equally, if you need to make a call. Yes, we know that there are things like, you know, Skype and so forth. But if you want to make a call, again, from your home location, you can do it. And the recipient of the call will still see your mobile number as if you'd dialed conventionally, as if the call had been routed conventionally. And similarly with text messages. So in other words, you can have a full service by taking advantage of this sort of supplementary technology where it uses Wi-Fi to boost that signal. Now, I know that O2 do it, I think EE do as well, but it's worth asking. So if you're speaking to BT or others, asking them if they offer that. O2 offer it for their contract customers only. I know it's not on their pay.
The problem with BT is that they always direct you to India and you can never get a conversation going. This was sold to us as on free calls and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
The only time we can get a text message is when we drive about 5 miles out of the village.
Yeah.
I mean, then it will come flooding in.
Well, I think that either you use a network that has that sort of supplementary Wi-Fi technology, or you just use Skype or something and just do a straight, what's called a voice over IP call, and just make a straight internet call over Skype. And there's a couple of things you can do. You can make Skype to Skype calls free from one Skype device to another, or you can pay for a subscription and get, you know, Europe wide or global calls included in a sort of subscription price.
Well, my point is that do we have any comeback with BT for selling us something that doesn't work?
Yeah, how long has it been?
How long have we had this now? Is it really? I'm being told it's about a year.
Yeah. Well, the good news, you can argue it. I mean, in terms of cancelling the contract, if it's a year, you're probably out of contract and can now cancel it, but you need to check that. Certainly, if my advice for people taking contracts in the first place is not to go into a store and take out the contract in store. It's to do it online or over the phone because you have better rights. When you take a contract in store, you're reliant upon the discretion of the shop and their policy about handing back a contract.
Right.
When you do it online or remotely, at distance, as it were, you have certain cancellation rights, 2 weeks or a month.
All right. Bob, thank you for your call, Bob, in Alfriston there. Good luck with that. Let us know how it goes with BT. John's in Brighton next. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How can we help?
Right. Well, I'm totally blind.
Okay.
Now, most mobile phones now, they're all touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can I get around this?
Yeah. Okay, John. There are accessibility options on smartphones. Those are the ones that are totally touchscreen. So if you've got, for example, an Apple phone, you press the home button, which is a physical button, 3 times. It fires up and it will read you what's on the screen and you can interact with it by voice. So there are people who are totally blind who do use iPhones, for example. There is similar technology with with Apple's major competitor, which are those that run the Android operating system. So
that's what I'm after, is the Android.
Yeah, so there are similar accessibility technologies there. Failing that, they'll do screen readers and so forth. And for example, on an iPhone, if you just sort of swipe down with 2 fingers, from the top of the screen, it will start reading whatever is on the screen, so you can use it as a screen reader. It's rather like, you may be familiar with software like JAWS on the desktop machines that reads computer
screens.
That's
it. You're just talking to the microphone and it comes back.
Yeah, so you can do voice control. I mean, none of these things are perfect, Bob. I mean, John, sorry, I have to be honest with you, but... people do use them successfully. The alternative then, of course, to smartphones is what are called feature phones and phones with physical buttons. And that, although they're not as capable, they obviously have the benefit of providing you with tactile feedback as your hand moves across the buttons. You can actually feel what you're doing. What I would suggest to you is, for again, if you buy a phone, you could try it online, it's in store, but if you buy a phone online... you have the right to. You'll have the right to return that phone and check your return rights. But you should have legal rights of return if it doesn't do what you need it to do. And you can only really. It's useful to have a go in a shop, but you're really not going to know how you're going to get on with it until you've used it for at least a few days.
You've used it for at least six months or whatever. Yeah.
Well, they won't give you 6 months to return it. But you, for example, with Apple, they give you what's called a remorse period. It's 30 day period in which you can change your mind.
That's not bad, is it? 30 days to at least give it a go.
Yeah, and if you're not sure, return it and buy another one.
All right, John, thank you for your call.
Just get an iPhone then.
Well, the technology on the Android phones isn't far behind, so I would check that out as well.
All right.
They can be a lot cheaper.
John, thank you. John in Brighton there. Jane in Bognor says you can buy a Doro phone in any O2 shop. Glenys in Eastbourne has also said the same. Got mine in O2. It's brilliant, says Glenys. Somebody else says Tesco's are selling Doros.
Yeah.
This is from June in Brighton, also happens to be blind. She says, I wish they bring back the Nokia C5 because as I'm permanently blind, the C5 was the best phone to have speech put on it by the computer room centre for the blind, and it's easy to use. One more here from Simon. He says, I have a question for your guru this afternoon. I have an HTC M9 Android phone, which I tend to power off and recharge every night.
Yep.
Two or three times recently, I've powered the phone on in the mornings to find that several settings have been reset, such as ringtones, message tones, and so on. Is this likely to be a bug with Android, says Simon, or could it be that my phone is somehow not retaining its settings when powered off? I've just received the upgrade to Android 7, and the problem hasn't reoccurred yet, but it didn't happen every time anyway, says Simon in Hayward's Heath.
Yeah. So it could be either. It could be the operating system, the Android software, or it could be a hardware fault. Either of those could give rise to those symptoms. The best advice that I can give you is to continue to use it with the current new version of Android, and as soon as the problem recurs, report the problem. I'm not sure if your phone is in warranty or not, but if it's just about to go out of warranty, I'd report it now whilst you're still within warranty, and then sort the details out later. But it could be either. The fact that it's not recurred so far is obviously encouraging thus far, but you're going to have to experiment a bit. If it's a hardware fault, then that's unlikely to be an economic repair. But again, if the phone's under warranty, then all well and good. So I would check when you bought it and how long your warranty is as a matter of urgency.
Okay, we've got literally, I don't know where this half hour's gone. We've got a couple of minutes left on this, and then we've got to do our weather and travel. And we haven't even talked about our gadget of the week. So give us 60 seconds on our purchase for this month.
Okay, so the gadget of the week is... called the Sol Republic Shadow. So Sol Republic is a brand. Mm-hmm. Shadow, it's a pair of wireless headphones that are sort of horseshoe shaped. They sort of fit around your neck and then wires up to your ears. So they connect via Bluetooth. They are lightweight, and you can use them not only to listen to music, but if the phone rings, your mobile phone link rings, it allows you to connect to both. So the phone will interrupt that. Or you can switch to different devices, so you can watch a video wirelessly, hear the sound wirelessly, and then still have your phone interrupt you. It's got 8 hours battery life on a charge, single charge, which is pretty good compared to the latest offering from, say, Apple. And unlike Apple, the Apple ones, you know, the new AirPods that look like earrings hanging out of your ear. The problem with those is they're very expensive when you lose one, and you will eventually lose one. This thing is, imagine a horseshoe-shaped sort of yoke around the neck, but it's very comfortable. You actually forget you're wearing it. And then just two wires that go to the ears. So when they fall out of your ears, they just hang down. Which doesn't sound like much, but do you know what? It's much better than paying, you know, the better part of 80 quid for a replacement earbud.
Yeah, absolutely. So what sort of price? So these are
list price is £99.99, and I've given it 4 stars out of 5. And it's called the Soul Republic Shadow.
Excellent. Right, before you go, we'll remind you, you can follow Fevzy, and I'm now doing that, at Gadget Detective on Twitter. And also, you can catch up on this tech phone-in at your convenience via the BBC's Let's Talk About Tech podcast, which presumably you're going to tell me is very easy to find online.
It is. It is. And you just use your software to you know, podcatcher software to find it. Or you can just go to the BBC website. If you type in... Let's Talk About Tech, you'll find it there and you'll just be able to click and listen.
Right, well, we look forward to having you back on this show in a couple of weeks' time. Fevzy, thank you so much.
Cheers, Mark.